Thank you for tuning into Harvest Christian Fellowship Amarillo Campus Podcast. We hope you are enjoying our current message series, 1 Corinthians. This week, Pastor Curtis House talks about using our spiritual gifts for God's common good. For more information, download the Harvest Christian Fellowship app or visit us at harvestchristianfellowship.org. Thanks and have a blessed day.
You know, if you've been with us over the past few weeks, you know we're in this sermon series on the church at Corinth, on Corinthians. Now, in saying that, some of you have anticipated that at some point in time, surely we're going to get to the gifts of the Spirit. Because we have so many concepts and so many ideas and so many thoughts and so much history on the gifts of the Spirit. It's amazing. People may not even know Jesus, but they have an opinion on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You ever notice that? Okay, y'all aren't even with me this morning, are you? Yeah, yeah. And so today I'm going to unpack some things on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because here's the thing. The gifts of the Spirit were given for the common good. And where and when they've been abused is when people take the gift and they unwrap the gift and they say, this is a beautiful gift and it's all for me and it's all about me. Watch how powerful I am. Right? You know it. You act like you don't. You know, and here's the thing. God gives gifts, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians 12, which we're going to be in this morning. But the scripture says that God gives gifts as he determines, not as you determine, for the common good. And so where we have seen and got off to a bad start many times is we have seen people who have been very gifted, who have been given gifts, but here's a problem. They don't have maturity in their gift. So they're unable to steward their gifts for the common good of man, for the common good of the church, for the common good of the kingdom of God. Instead, through their immaturity, it causes dissension. And when dissension enters the church through the spiritual gifts, this is a terrible place to be, because that's not what God intended the gifts to be used for. So as we jump in and we talk about the spiritual gifts today, just stay with me. You know, probably when you were growing up, maybe you're still growing up, your parents had to discipline you to some degree, to some point. And what did they always say? This is for your what? This is for your own good. But we also know it was for the good of the family. If you've been around me when I travel, and we travel and we pull our camper in my pickup, I have a CB radio. Now, they're not popular anymore. You know, as a matter of fact, it's up to me. I'd have an antenna that's about 14 feet tall, but Allison didn't like it, right? And so I have this CB radio, but it's actually not used for what you might think. I have a big speaker under the hood, and I can put it on the PA. And when we pull up somewhere, I'm able to pull out my little speaker thing, and the kids will be out there on the playground and say, hey, it's time to load up. We're leaving. House kids, come on. And if one of them doesn't come, see, they're being a little selfish, or they say one more time or something like that. It's not for the common good of everyone. When we discipline, and as the Spirit discipline, and as the Spirit disciplines, and as he teaches us, what he's doing is he's saying, hey, this is for the common good. This is so that everyone hears my voice and that everyone will come. It's a table that's being set for each and every one that we will be invited. And as we're invited, we're given these gifts we set at this table. Isn't it a beautiful picture to think that the Heavenly Father goes around and says, here's your gift. Here's your gifts. Unwrap them. Use them to build up, to edify, to exhort the body of Christ. And so that's what's going on today. Look, this church was not just a little out of control. It was way out of control. And they said, yeah, well, the Spirit's moving. And sometimes I think the Apostle Paul is saying, yeah, but what spirit? We got a situation. And above everything and all things, with all the gifts that were being dispersed and all the people that were displaying their gifts or putting their gifts on display, if you will, the greatest gift of all is the gift of what? Of love. I mean, even the Apostle Paul, he has 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We've got 1 Corinthians chapter 14 that speak on the gifts. But 1 Corinthians 13, he says, hey, look, you can have all that stuff, but it's just a gong. It's a clanging cymbal if you don't have love. Here's why. Because God is love. And he's building his kingdom. He doesn't give us gifts to build our own kingdoms. 1 Corinthians 12, let's jump in. Let's look at this. But to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So there it is in Scripture, for the common good. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, and to another the effecting of miracles, and to another prophecy, and to another the distinguishing of spirits, and to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually just as He wills. Now, when He distributes to each one as He wills, that's known as the phanerosia of God. That's the Greek. Don't you love it? You came here and you learned something. So what that means is He distributes. Some theologians say this. It's known as the dancing hand of God. And the hand of God dances and distributes as He determines, not as we determine. What is our role? What is our responsibility? It is to be open to receive. Because the Apostle Paul says this, earnestly desire spiritual gifts. Now, how many of us earnestly desire spiritual gifts? Yeah, good. There's some of you. There's one of you. All right? The rest of you are like, I don't know about all. And look. So here's the thing. Earnestly desire spiritual gifts. It's kind of like I said this morning in the early service. It's like if you're from West Texas and you haven't had a steak in 3 weeks. Look, don't come and bring me a little quarter-inch ribeye. I'm talking, I want an inch and three-quarter ribeye, and I want it cooked just right, medium rare. And with that steak, I mean, if you're really going to cook me a steak, let me tell you what else I like that goes with it. I like creamy horseradish, right? But yeah, and some of you are saying, Curtis, this is way too close to lunch. Here's why. You're earnestly desiring already. And we should have that earnest desire for spiritual gifts to fill us up for the common good of others. I mean, love is a gift that serves. That's great. The gift of healing is a gift that serves. The gift of prophecy is a gift that serves. So why would we not earnestly desire those things? You know, we've grown up and we've heard of the Holy Roller Church. You know, when I grew up in Tulia, there was a Holy Roller Church. That's what we called it. Now, I don't know how holies roll, but they must roll. That's all I could figure out. And what does that mean? Or we hear this, you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you have the gift of tongues. You know, by the way, there's some mainline denominations that believe that. And so you may be sitting there saying, well, I don't speak in tongues. I don't have the gift of tongues, so I must not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You see, we all come with, in some ways, a predetermined idea of what the Apostle Paul is speaking about and opinions. And we've seen them abused and we've seen them used for the glorification of God. We've seen both and. Or either or. We all have an opinion. It wasn't taught on much before the Reformation. The Holy Spirit wasn't taught on much before the Reformation. It's interesting if you look at the Reformation and all that took place, it was Spirit inspired. It was God saying, I've given this to the whole world, and not to just some elite. You know, we tend to find ourselves in a place of saying, hey, I want the spiritual gifts, but do I have the education to receive them? Is it right in the church that I walk in to receive the spiritual gifts, to use the manifestation of the gifts of the Spirit for the glory of God in our church? We'll make sure it's of the Spirit. That's how you know. Is this really the Spirit? If you bring a tambourine to worship and you're not on the worship team, it's not of the Spirit. You say, I hate to shut the tambourines off, okay? If you feel like the Spirit of God has told you to bring ribbons to church and you're going to dance up and down the aisles, there may be a time for that, but probably not Sunday morning, okay? The Spirit of God works in order, not chaos. Works to bring Him glory. And that's what the Holy Spirit leads us to do. Now, we are a charismatic church here, but we are not a crazymatic church. Meaning that we accept the gifts of the Spirit in order, in the way the Apostle Paul is teaching here. So, from the turn of the century, what we saw the Reformation, and then as the 18th century and 19th century got here, we saw a revival that spread, and it spread because the Spirit of God was at work in His people. And many of us are benefactors today because of the work that's gone on before us, the work in the Spirit. You see, I like how the Spirit works. In John chapter 19, John chapter 17, I'm sorry, Jesus says this to His apostles. He breathes on them and He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, if you can receive something, I think that also helps me understand that we can reject something. You don't have to be afraid of receiving the Holy Spirit in His fullness. Because as we receive the Holy Spirit, God leads us. He corrects our thoughts, our theology. And now we're led by the Holy Spirit of God to do the things of God for the common good of mankind. Look, it's not just the common good of the church. It's the common good of mankind. If you have a gift of service and you use it out there, what do people see? Something's different about this person. They're not complaining about working. They're not complaining about their job. They're not complaining about serving me. They're not complaining about bringing their boss a cup of coffee. What's going on? They have the gift of service, and they're willing to use it wherever and whenever for the glory of God. So as we look at this, let me talk about how the Spirit of God comes upon us real quick. Because you may be sitting in your chair this morning, you may be saying, I don't know that I have the Holy Spirit. But do you believe Jesus is Lord? The Scripture says this, that no one can say Jesus is Lord except through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit convicts us. The Holy Spirit brings us to a place of our conversion. It brings us to a place of justification as recognizing Jesus as Lord in our own lives. I like to say it this way. In the Wesleyan faith, this is how we learned it. We learned it. It was called prevenient grace. The grace that goes before us so that we will hear one day the voice of God and we will be justified because we surrender to the call of God on our life. We make Jesus Lord of our life. And so that's conversion. You know, I used to like to rope calves. Now, I've never claimed to be a cowboy. I wasn't a very good one. I tried. But I love to rope calves. And every Thursday morning, I'd have a Bible study. And then we roped calves all day on Thursday. I took Thursdays off. And I like to think of it as my horse would back into that box. He would be fixated on the chute. He would just watch that chute. Sometimes they would rattle the chute and the horse would, if you've ever been on them, you know, they just get excited. They want to jump. And so as he would stare at that box, it's similar to God anticipating you and I being born here upon this earth. The Scripture says before we were born, before we were knit in our mother's womb, God knew us. He has a plan and a purpose for us. He anticipates, just as that horse anticipates that calf coming out. And as the chute opens, that calf takes off, and the horse has one job, to pursue that calf. That's prevenient grace. God pursues us in that way. From day one, He's in pursuit of us because He loves us. And you may say, well, why doesn't He just show up and make us be Christians? Because He's not about robots. He's about us recognizing and seeing His love and freely choosing. But the conviction, the void that we have is filled when we begin to feel and experience the Holy Spirit. I like to think the rope as the Holy Spirit. It goes out and it goes around the neck of that calf, and then you just pitch your slack, you know, and wait for the wreck to happen. Something's going to happen at the end of that rope, right? The horse stops, the calf swings around, and who is the calf facing? It's facing God. There's a time when we fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit where we face God. And as we face God, we surrender to Him. Of course, this rider jumps off. The good riders jump off. I usually fell off and then would run down the rope and flip the calf and tie the calf and raise my hands and say, thank you, Jesus, I finally caught one. Sometimes I feel like that's how God looks at it with us. Man, I finally got one. Been pursuing this calf. You know, some of you, when you come out of the chute, these are the ones I always like, the ones that ran the hardest to the other end. Because they just ran straight to the other end as hard as they could. It's pretty easy for the horse. He just, whoosh, whoosh. And if I could rope at all, I'd catch that thing. But then there's some of you that just come out and you mope off to the right or you mope off to the left. You know, what am I doing out in this arena? Right? That's where you feel like. The Holy Spirit wants you to hear His voice, and He wants you to know that you were created with a void that only He can fill. And when we submit and we surrender to that, we have a conversion experience, and do not throw that experience away. Don't let someone say you don't have the Holy Spirit. You do. And that happens at conversion. Then there's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is similar to chocolate milk. I know. Amen. Tastes good, doesn't it? So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit works this way. The way it works is, it's when I was growing up, we would have milk and we'd pour a glass for breakfast. And then, of course, you had the chocolate that you added to it. Later on, we started getting the chocolate syrup because we could put it on ice cream as well. But when you put it in there, where does it go? It goes to the bottom. It's still in there, but it needs to be stirred up. And this is the indwelling part. When we come to church, when the gifts of the Spirit show up at church, when the phanerosia of God is distributing and there's prophetic word given and there's edification and there's exhortation that's taking place, it's a good place to be, and it stirs up the Spirit within us. And we begin to recognize, here's the problem. We fight oftentimes ourselves on whether or not we're going to be a part of community, a part of the faith. Will I just soon stay home, watch church on TV today? There's no community. There's no place for you to get stirred up in the Spirit where you can be indwelled and walk in the indwelling. You know, when you stir that milk up, it takes days for that to settle out. And that's the indwelling part of the Spirit. I love working Walk to Emmaus's, where we say a prayer that just, come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful, and kindle in them the fire of your love. Kindle in them. Strike it up. Stir it up. Let us see what you have for us today. That's the indwelling. And as we go through the indwelling part of the Spirit, it moves us to a place of sanctification. That's a big word, which means that He begins to root the sin out. Have you ever wondered why I have this habitual sin, or why I keep doing the things I don't want to do, as the Apostle Paul says? You ever wondered? Here's the deal. God calls us to community, to a place where that Spirit can be stirred up, where we can be indwelled with the Holy Spirit. And then we walk through a process of sanctification, meaning that one day the Spirit of God is going to be greater than any temptation in our life. I gave my kids their scripture memory this past week, and the older kids, it's 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you but that which is common to man, and God is faithful and will not let you be tempted beyond what you are able to endure, and will provide a way of escape. When we're led by the Spirit, we walk into a place of sanctification that eventually roots that sin out of our life. We get so frustrated because we say, I'm a believer, and God's supposed to be working in me, but however, why do I continue to do the things that I don't want to do, that I know that are sin? Well, stir the Spirit up inside of you. Listen to Christian radio. Do things that allow the Spirit to be stirred up within you. And then there's the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4-8, and being assembled together with them, He commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you should be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. In other words, you're about to be immersed. Then verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Now, let's look at that for just a moment, because here's what happens, okay? And in some ways, this is what happened to the church at Corinth. So God distributed. There was a manifestation of the Spirit that went through the church at Corinth. The phanerosia, the appointed hand of God, gave people gifts, but they used them for their own glory. Here's why they were not mature enough to steward the gift they had. So it's amazing to me that someone can have the gift of tongues and continue, or the gift of interpretation, or the gift, here's another one, the gift of discernment. And say, I know the difference between right and wrong, but let's get to church early and get drunk. That's what was going on in the church of Corinth. They were showing up early, drinking all the communion, and getting drunk. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? Well, it's a maturity issue. It's a maturity issue. I've seen this time and time again. Someone comes to the Lord, and instead of waiting, notice what happens, the empowerment. Acts 1:4-8, he says, hey, this is before he's ascended into heaven. He calls his apostles, and he said, don't go anywhere yet. Wait until the Holy Spirit has come, overpowered you, given you the power to go out. See, we get so excited when we walk into the Christian faith. We say, "Woo! I'm saved. I feel good. I'm refreshed. I've been baptized in the water. Lord, just put me to work." And Lord says, wait. We don't like to wait. I mean, we live in an instant society. No, Lord, send me over to North Africa and let me talk to those Muslims. And the Lord said, well, it's not going to go good for you. You might be like Stephen. You might get one chance. You better preach a good one. Right? See, he's telling us that there is a time where we are empowered by the Spirit of God. If God has placed a nation or the nations on your heart, and Brother Audie's about to go over to Africa, he's got a passion to go over there, right? But you've had to wait. Had tickets for 3, 4, 6 months. Building up support, getting prayer support together, getting all these things together to be empowered by the Holy Spirit instead of running out there in your own strength. Yeah, you've still got the Spirit, but that may not be where Jesus has called you at this point in time or is doing with you at this point in time. It's okay to sit and wait and say, now what, Lord? Give me strength. Give me maturity. Even Paul was not Paul to begin with. He was Saul. Do you remember that? And he had to be spoken to by the Spirit of God. The Spirit not only had to bring him into a conversion experience, which happened. A great light shone. He fell off his horse. He was blinded. You can read about it a couple times in the book of Acts. He had his conversion experience, but then there was a time of indwelling where he had to walk with the Lord in order to see. He had to go to Ananias, and Ananias had to lay his hands on him so that the scales would fall off so that he could see. There was a time of indwelling, and then there was a time of empowerment. And by the way, when you study the Apostle Paul, what you'll find out is he disappeared for 14 years. What was he doing? He was being empowered. That's a long time to wait. A lot of people believe that he just simply went to the church at Jerusalem and listened to the preachers preach and the teachers teach. See, the gifts of the Spirit are such a wonderful thing for the body of Christ because they build us up. But they must be done in God's ways and not in man's ways, or else they divide. God never gave gifts to divide his body. When we have Christmas at my house, shoot, it's funny how my kids get along. I think they really think Santa's watching. It's just amazing, right? Well, God gives gifts so that we'll be excited, so that we can do some great things for Him and His kingdom and for the body, for the common good of this world. I'm going to talk about the gifts, but I'm about to blitzkrieg you with the gifts. Some will leave you with questions. Some will leave you with answers. But if I don't cover these, something may not check on your spirit. One of these is for you. 2, 3 may be for you. You may say, well, I've not seen them in my life. Why? Because you've not unwrapped them. It's been given. So pay attention. The first one I see, the gifts of revelation, the gift of wisdom. Wisdom is the key that unlocks the insight that we need for life. Have you ever noticed that people who are wise don't always have to say anything? You just see how they live their life and you go, wow, there's something different about that person. There's something that is courageous about that person. It's almost like they know when to go, when to come, when to say, what to say, how to say. There's something about that person. They are truly wise. It's followed up by knowledge. Now, knowledge is not knowledge as you suppose. I oftentimes say this, the difference between knowledge and wisdom is knowledge is the ability to know, the ability to learn, but wisdom is the ability to apply what you know. There's a lot of you that know a lot but can't apply anything for your life. I've been there too. And so there is a difference here, but this type of knowledge, this gift of knowledge that is from the dancing hand of God, this gift of knowledge is very prophetic. It's a word of knowledge. It's someone who comes to you and says, hey, this is your life and this is where it is now, but this is where it's supposed to be and this is how you get there. They help connect the dots for you. This is what God wants to do for each one of us. This is the woman at the well. You remember she was at the well. She says, why is it, Jesus, that you're speaking to me? I'm a Samaritan woman. You're not even supposed to be here. I'm not supposed to be here. Da, 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 da. And he says, hey. And she said, he reveals himself to her. She said, let me go get my husband. He said, you said right. But the one you're really going to get is not your husband. For you've been married 5 times. And the one you now live with is not your husband. How do you know that? I perceive you're a prophet. Really? No, I'm just the son of God. Okay? And I am God. And so, what is that? That's just knowledge. And sometimes that will be given by God, usually in a core meeting. When we have core, we see this gift manifesting in one or two or five of you. It can be given to the church as well. There's the gift of discerning spirits. This gift discerns between true and false prophets. Satan disguises himself oftentimes as an angel of light. But this discerning of spirits, I love people who can recognize this because they'll say, that's not of God. Jesus says it this way, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. They disguise themselves. You need discerning spirits to recognize that. Then there are the power gifts. These get us in trouble sometimes, right? There's the power gift. Boom, power. There's the gift of faith. To me, it's the most important of all the power gifts because here's why. The gift of faith, faith is the currency that moves God. And sometimes, yes, we all have faith. Of course we do. We would have never made Jesus Lord of our life if we didn't have some type of faith. But the gift of faith is the type of faith that moves mountains. You know, Jesus said this in Matthew 17:20. He said, but if you have faith of mustard seed, you can tell this mountain to move from here to there, and it should be so, and nothing will be impossible for you. And so many people claim that scripture and say, I'm going to move that mountain. Is the hand of God on you? Did he give you that type of faith? He says a mustard seed. Here's why. Because for God to give that is nothing for God. It doesn't take anything from him. It's a gift. Boom. I give you this gift. And when you have that gift, you'll move mountains not just for your own life, but for the lives of others. I love to see that gift. I've seen that gift empower people, send people around the world in Jesus' name. And then there's the gift of healing. This is, now if you're with me here, these are given gifts distributed as God wills. As he determines, not as we determine. Now, here's the problem with the gift of healing. I think it is probably the least unwrapped, or the most unwrapped, I'm sorry, and the least used for God's glory. I've wondered oftentimes, man, if the right person prayed, if the right person knew that they had the gift of healing, how many people would walk in healing and health today? How many lives would be spared? How many lives would be saved? You see, God says, earnestly desire these gifts. If you have no desire, even if he gives them, you will not unwrap them. The gift of miracles, the things that supersede the law of nature. Jesus walked on water. He raised people from the dead. You ever see anyone raised from the dead? You're sitting there going, man, don't get in that wacky theology. There have been a couple times in my life that I've seen some pretty incredible things happen. That have, you know what they've done though, to know if they're of the Lord, is one time a man was just pulled over in a truck. He had his head on the steering wheel. I was young. I was driving by and I just looked over and saw it, and I just kept going. And then the Lord spoke to my heart and said, you need to go back and check on that man. So I turned around and I came back. I climbed up in the truck and he started convulsing. So I went around to the other side and I pulled him out of the truck. And he was on the ground. He started flopping everywhere. He started throwing up and then he just quit. And normally I would go into, what's wrong with this guy? But instead, I just laid hands on him and started praying over him. He started convulsing again, and then he stopped, and I kept praying over him. And here's the cool thing. When it all leveled out, when it was all said and done, that Sunday, he had never been to our church, but he showed up at church on Sunday. To God be the glory for the common good, for kingdom expansion. The gift of miracles, the gift of prophecy, you know, prophecy is a revelation. It's a divine revelation given by God to give to someone else or to give to the church. It edifies, it exhorts, it consoles. The gift of tongues, probably the most overemphasized, most misused. You know, if you're called in the charismatic movement, and for years it's been this way. You're called in the charismatic movement. And so you've got a pastor in the charismatic movement. Then you better have the gift of tongues. And so here's what I think's happened. I think a lot of times it's been faked. That rubs us wrong, doesn't it? Somebody comes up with something. Somebody tries to emulate something. And what a terrible thing. Maybe God didn't give you that gift. Cut it out. Stop it. Because that's what confuses and that's what divides the body. If someone really has the gift, let them use their gift according to Scripture, which means it will be done in order. And it will be done for exhortation. It will be done for the building up, not for the dividing. You notice when the gift of tongues was first distributed really among the church, the 120 were in the upper room and it's given and they left there and they were doing what? They were teaching others in their own language. They had come to the feast of Pentecost. So people from all different parts, all different languages came to this huge festival and now they're hearing the gospel in each one's language. What an incredible thing. I had a man one time, he and I went on mission trips together, great friends, denominational. We came from two different denominations, but served on a couple of mission trips together. We wound up being good friends. And one time he said, you know what, man, I'm going to tell you, I believe in apostolic succession that, of course, the gifts ended with the apostles. But man, I'm not into any of that crazy stuff. I said, well, you believe Jesus is Lord? Yeah. I mean, so we get into all this stuff. We have these conversations. You know, I'm young at that time, so I'm ready to argue. So we go through this whole thing. He goes to a prayer group one night just to make fun of it, and he winds up falling out in the prayer group. He got really angry, and he started trying to get up, and he couldn't get up. Now, I know it sounds like a crazy story, but it's kind of a funny story because he no longer belongs to that denomination, but he's still a denominational preacher. And has planted a church and doing very well. As a matter of fact, he went over to Russia once. And he started preaching over at Russia. And they started requesting him to go into all the homes to preach. And the missionary that was serving in Russia said, why do y'all want him? They said, because he speaks our language. He was actually preaching in Russian. He didn't even know it. He found out a little later when he listened. Some incredible things out there for the building up, for the edification, for God's glory, not our glory. So be careful. Look, we're called not to be ignorant about this. 1 Corinthians 12, now concerning spiritual gifts, I do not want you to be ignorant. Don't do things that are going to divide the body. The spiritual gifts will build it up. That's what they're for. Look, the Spirit distributes, not you. I have been in church services where people say, you've got to have this, or you need this, or God's called you to this, or whatever, and they're laying on the hands, and I'm like, wait a minute. God distributes the gifts, not man. He tells us to earnestly desire them. And finally, as we earnestly desire those spiritual gifts, watch what God does, because He will use them to build us up. I love people with a gift of exhortation. I like to be around them. But you know, like I said, they won't just use that gift within these walls. They'll go out and build others up. And you know what happens? Those come to church. They find themselves at the table of Jesus, where they too, Jesus can show up and say, hey, I got you something. I've been waiting for you. Take this and make it your own. For the common good. of God, of His world, and most importantly, of His kingdom. So guys, let me just ask you, what's your gift? Do you know it? Maybe someone needs to give a prophetic word to you and for you. Maybe as we're worshiping in here on Sunday morning, we can look across and say, Lord, I see that person over there. I'm just going to say a prayer for them right here. I don't have to go to them. You remember the centurion? The centurion tells Jesus, he said, hey, I need you to come and heal my daughter. And Jesus has to check his schedule. Well, let's see, it's Monday, I've got this. I mean, he kind of does. And not only does he check his, and so the guy says, hey, you don't need to come. I'm not worthy of you coming under my house. I'm a Roman. But just say the word and she'll be healed. Some of us, if we'll just allow God to not just, if we'll just earnestly seek the gift, and as we receive his gift, we unwrap them. It may be just saying a prayer and this person gets a breakthrough. We may have things cross our minds at night. People cross our minds, things cross our minds, plans, purposes, whatever they are. And we say that prayer and we get a breakthrough. They get a breakthrough. And you know what? That person may come to you and say, you're never going to believe this, but I got a job that I've been praying for whatever. And you want to say, I prayed for that last week for you. And God said, you don't need to tell them. It's not about you. It's for the common good. It was for them. How many people would be healed if we just said a prayer? For the sick, for the hurting, for the destitute. How many people would be empowered to go around the world into all nations and be invited to the table if we simply said prayers of exhortation? You see, the gifts are given for the common good so that no one would perish, so that we would be built up, a city on a hill, a light shining around the world for the common good. For God's glory. Would you please stand? If you need prayer this morning for anything, I know that's a quick interpretation and a very quick teaching on the gifts. But listen to me. Ask God for the gift of discernment, the gift of wisdom, the gift of knowledge, and then you'll get a greater understanding than what Pastor Curtis just unloaded on you. Okay? But let's allow the Spirit of God to work. If you need prayer for healing, don't be afraid to come forward, because what manifests in that is your willingness to say, hey, Lord, I have the faith. Now I need someone to remove this mountain. Who's got the phanerosia? Who's got the dancing hand of God upon them this morning for that prayer of faith? Who's got the strength to encourage, to exhort? Who has the spirit of discernment to say, hey, not this way, but that way? Earnestly desire, because this church is to be the body of Christ. And I know that when God truly pours out His Spirit upon us and we receive great and mighty miracles, signs and wonders, He says, greater things than these shall you see. Because He gives them to more than Himself, to each and every one. So look for those. And if you need prayer this morning, don't be afraid to come forward, because that is faith being activated. And that puts you in a place where God really can move. That's why we do what we do. Father God, thank you for this congregation. I pray, Father, that we would be mature, that we would grow up in our gifts. And Father, that we would see your dancing hand upon us and rejoice in that each and every day. May we earnestly desire for the building up of your kingdom and not a kingdom of our own. In Jesus' name, amen.